Hi everyone, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cenacle Series, and this is the Divine Will ebook series, where we take a methodical review of Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation, which has the Church's ecclesiastical commendation, which is the other word for approval. So it's all here, the summary, the driving us into the volumes, it's all approved by the Church. Everyone can use it publicly as well as privately. So I'm going to bring Maureen at this time. Hello, Maureen.
Peter, hi.
Okay, so let me bring this document up. And we're going to begin as we always do with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come, and your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary Invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Wasn't that better with Maureen's voice than my voice? I say yay to that. We have a small family this evening, and that's good. And hopefully it can be a bit interactive if we may. Again, this is the review of Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation. It took him 14 years. He translated all of Luis's writings. He summarized it from a theological perspective, gave us the summary, and then drives us into the volumes in which we can see where he ascertained his summary, and we can allow Jesus and our Blessed Mother, the ultimate teachers, to take us as deep as we wish to go. And that's exactly the formula. As much as we want, they will give us, and that's what's so beautiful about this gift. Maureen, any opening thoughts while I toggling up here?
Not yet. Just it's so good to be here, and when we're not reading or we're not discussing divine will, I always feel like there's something missing, you know, outside of what you have to do during the day. But if the day goes on and it's not discussed or read, I always feel like, oh, something's missing about today. So it's good to be here and to be able to read God's words.
And, you know, that's a good indication, too, because one of the things that one of the criteria that Jesus articulates that we need to form and we need to possess to form, that's what I was to form the ardent desire, one of which is to constantly think of God. We're not talking about, you know, when we're at a fork in the road, we're driving on a highway, you know, we're thinking of God, we're missing the exit. But in all opportunities to enjoy God, to recognize him, and to give him what he did not receive when he was here in his humanity, and that was gratitude. He didn't receive the appropriate gratitude. I mean, he gives us indications. The 10 lepers is probably one that comes to my mind. One came back to thank our Lord, and he says, wait, weren't there 10 of you? Where are the other 9? I mean, it's incredible. And the fact that, you know, Maureen, he makes this gift, he tells us, I think it's in volume 11, he says, I had to make this gift easy and accessible to all, in all circumstances, in all situations, and in every place. Now, that does mean it requires a little bit of us, but it's really not a lot. Just really quick, if I can do this. In Father Annuzzi's book, The Splendor of Creation, highly recommend it. It's a great foundational book. There it goes. A great foundational book for the divine will. It has a lot of divine will in it. Well, it's all about the divine will. He talks about in chapter 4, man's full participation in God's divine will. And he states immediate entry, article number one. And he says, quote, that anyone in the state of grace can immediately experience God's eternal mode of activity is abundantly clear in the writings of the contemporary church mystics, end quote. He talks about Louisa Picaret, of course, you know, the mystic of all mystics. He talks about Diana Bellinger. He talks about the Venerable Conchita. It goes, all, you know, Sister Faustina. It goes all the way down the line. It's available to us, and it could be there in an instant, you know. And there's two knowledges. We can have general knowledge. We can have particular knowledge. We can have really no knowledge. And if you think about it, if we have the opportunity, if we're in the state of grace, to experience God's eternal operation immediately, take that for a thought. And then the second thought, and I just found this before we went live, Maureen, otherwise I would have sent it to you. Take that thought and then couple it with this. Volume 35, February 28th, 1938. Quote, now continue to listen. As soon as the creature recognizes us in the creative things. Now again, these are those impromptu rounds. Thank you, Lord, for the tree. We see God in the tree. We don't see his face in the tree, although some of us may see his face in the tree. But we know that the majesty of God created that tree, the leaves, the photosynthesis, everything about it. So he says, as soon as the creature recognizes us in created things, and again, that's all of creation, is there as a gentle reminder of God's grace. So as soon as he recognizes created things and loves, she seals in them a note of love and happiness for her creator. And as she goes up to recognize her creator, she recognizes us, and we recognize our divine being in her. Now, up to this point, there's no talk of knowing the divine will. In the state of grace, you're making those beautiful rounds. You may not even know you're making rounds, but you're giving glory and honor to God, really on the level of God, if he gives his gift on loan. So he says, we recognize our divine being in her. If you knew what it means to recognize each other, exclamation point. So again, when he says in volume 11, I had to make this easy and accessible to all, he means it. I mean, what's there? State of grace, and then give love to God in whatever capacity we can, and whatever level we can, and whatever mode we can. It's very simple.
You know, and, I would just wanted to say, when Father Brown was at your Mary's Hill, so here's Father Brown. I mean, he's been doing the divine will for how long? He's a master. He's a teacher. He's an author. He was there when they took the volumes out of the Vatican. And we went to hear him speak. And you know what I remember most about his talk? I remember he said, when you eat an orange, you say, thank you, Lord, for this orange. Thank you, Lord, for the tree where this orange grew and for those who picked it for me so I can enjoy it. And that stuck out in my mind more than anything. I mean, he said many beautiful things, but I forget them all. Yeah. That I remember. And it taught me to thank God for every little thing, for the water that you drink, for the air that you breathe. We take everything for granted. And what does Jesus say? We steal it because we're not giving gratitude to who gave it to us. It was God. And to be grateful for every little thing because he gave it to us. And that's in that, when Father spoke of that, I saw his littleness and his simplicity, and yet he was a master of the divine will. It really meant a lot. I mean, it really impressed me when I heard that from him. God rest his soul.
Yeah, I think it just, again, shows that we all have different offices. Yeah. We all can't do what Father Brown did. We all can't do what Father Nuzzi does. Mm-hmm. But they also cannot do what we do in our capacity to be in the midst of the world as we are. You know, they're a little bit sheltered, I have to say. It's not, I'm saying, without problems. But yeah, all of that makes sense. And again, when we hear the divine will being brought to us from different perspectives, we recognize how vast God has made this. He's made this with unlimited entry points. We don't have to go through the front door. You don't have to go through the back door. You don't have to go through the windows. And that's what's so beautiful. That's why when you go to our convoluted website, pick any tab, pick any page.
Mm-hmm. It's all good.
It's a way into the divine world. I mean, some may be attracted to the hours of the Passion, some the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, some the Catechism. It's all divine will. It doesn't matter where we start. And you mentioned beloved Father Brown. He gave such a unique perspective on the divine will. Very simple, very low key. Never heard him raise his voice at all. And he's really a very astute writer. He left us with a couple of things. We're on Father Brown. I'd like to read this, and this is really, I think, the crux of the divine will. Nothing we've done, no work we've done, has enabled us to receive this gift. It's purely a gift, mystical gift, given unequally like our baptismal gifts. God gives it to whomever he wishes, when he wishes, to what extent he wishes. But when we're given the gift, that's when our work begins, because that's how we then express to God our desire. And he's going to give us the knowledges commensurate based on what our desire is. And there's going to be a little bit of an unraveling. And we're going to see that in the Catechism. Hopefully we have time later. But I have one little paragraph that Father Brown left us with. And this is so profound and so on point, and it has so many offshoots that we could talk about this all week. But I'm gonna, if I may, Maureen, this is from Father John Owen Brown. Quote, "The writings regarding the gift of the divine will defy definition. They are a vast and comprehensive guidebook to the lost godly nature of our souls. They're a compendium of virtually all information pertaining to being human, astutely stored in the Vatican archives until today. But its metaphors and its cryptic language are not given to us purely for understanding. They also serve as operative sources of restoration, whether we understand them or not. The writings not only express the desire of Jesus, they embody all the possibilities of God." End quote. And what struck me there, Maureen, was when he mentions about they don't have to be understood. And I remember a passage, I don't have it in front of me. I was looking, scurrying through the page, I couldn't find them. But Jesus talks to us and he says, whether you understand these truths in full or in part. Now he said in part, he didn't say 25%, it could be 1%. Anyone who understands these truths, these writings in full or in part, will be considered a child of God in the divine will. So if you understand it to a little bit, you can actually say, I am journeying in the divine will. I'm living in the divine will. I'm not living where Louisa was. I may not be living where half the population is that are journeying. Doesn't matter, but we're in the divine will. And how many times have you seen a race where the last place person, all of a sudden at the end, has that sprint at the finish and becomes the first place winner? Again, it's not a matter of who places. It's a matter of, as St. Paul says, run the race, complete the race. It doesn't matter what position we come in. That's why we all have our offices. And we have to really treasure that and feel good about that. And don't worry about what he's doing or she's doing. We can help each other. We can learn from each other. But don't pit ourselves against them. Don't push their head down in the water to get our head up above the water. And we do see a bit of that going on. And it's just very, I think, human nature. It's in our livelihoods, not all, but a vast majority in the corporate world. We know in the medical field, it's all the same. I mean, all jobs have the same. You've got the boss that is unaccommodating at most times. You've got people climbing the political ladder. It's the same thing in the divine world. So just don't let that distract you. Definitely don't become part of it, because it's going to take you off your game. You're going to lose valuable time. But we can learn from everyone. And what I always say is, give everyone a chance. Read, listen. Take what's good and leave the rest. And if you do that with everyone that God has given us, all the gifts that God has given us through souls to help us understand this gift, including us. We don't know it, but when we have a conversation with somebody, especially somebody who has never heard of the divine will, we're impacting their lives forever. Yes, we're giving them a choice, but it's up to them. If they're disposed, if they want to understand these truths, they're going to do it. They're going to follow through. You can't tell them everything because it's just too much. Just like Jesus can't tell us everything. He tells us little by little, bit by bit. And again, he gives it to us commensurate to our desire. And the more we know, of course, Maureen, we know the more we learn of this divine will, the more we want it. And the more we want it, the more we read. So it's really very cyclical. It's very gerbil-like.
And you know what, once you get into it, and you kind of understand not everything that you're reading, but what it is. Like, it's Jesus, he's given us a gift, all the main points. Then you don't care if you don't understand it because you're in it and you say, it'll come, and I'm a nothing. And this is God talking about heaven and what they do in heaven in the garden. So if I don't get it right away, that's okay. Later I will. And you don't have that, I have to know this, I have to get it all. Forget it. This is going to be a lifelong, and even in heaven. So you have
Yeah.
that, you get that calm reassurance that this is good, you trust it, and you just move forward. And if you don't get something, that's okay. It will come. And God will give it to you himself. I believe that totally. He'll give it to you. And you know, if you want it, we have priests that can give it to us too. We can email Father Iannuzzi or whatever. But I found, for me, I'm not a teacher or anything, so I don't have the pressure that if I read something, I have to know right that minute what that means. I'm not like that. That's just my, I mean, some people maybe are, but then I think you take the enjoyment out of it. I mean, this isn't meant to be a tense subject where you have to get everything. It's not like that. I don't think Jesus wants it to be like that. He wants you to understand how much he loves you, how great this gift is, and it's going to unfold as you grow. It'll unfold gently, lovingly, like Jesus is. So you lose that intensity to know everything, because that's not what, I don't think that's what he wants. He wants us to love him and enjoy his words. These are words we've never heard before. These are words from heaven. So then you say, oh, they're words from heaven. Well, I might not get it all, and that's okay. I will later, because I'm going to do this to the day I die. It's
It's true.
a lifelong.
And then after you die, you're still, and you live again, you're going to, I mean, you live, your soul lives
Right.
on, and you're going to continue. We're never going to get out of kindergarten. That's truly true. I think about a game
No.
one day. It was just really funny. But I think you're making a really good point there, and I think it's worth spending the time on. When your dad came over that first time, our first cenacle, I think it was November of 2014, and he brought the 13 volumes. I mean, he can barely carry. I had to help carry him in the car, and he put him on the table. I said, "Deacon, I have to be honest with you. I've teetered going back to school for my master's. And I just never had the time. Never really had the desire. I can't do this. I can't go back to school. I don't have the time. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a grandfather. I don't have time." But the amazing thing is, don't look at the volumes. Don't look at the amount of paperwork. Because all you need to do is enter into that gift. And then all of a sudden, it's like you pop into this snow globe, and all these little flakes of white that you've seen always circling around from the outside, they look like, oh my God, they're millions. But you're there and you're seeing one go by and one go by and one go by. And you can be attentive to each one. It's just so hard to explain. But I think closing thought on this is, don't treat this like a normal conventional school. Don't sit, I find it, I don't sit at a desk. You know, I got my paper here, I got my highlighter, I got to underline, I'm tense. I'm not going to get it. I find my best reading and understanding is on a couch in my sweatpants with a cup of coffee or a cup of tea with a light on, no disturbances, you know, have all your obligations out of the way and just sit there. I mean, you can't lounge on a chair in class. Well, maybe today you can, but back when I was going to school, you couldn't. You had to be very attentive. That's, I think, you don't worry about the outside.
Yeah.
God is now concerned with the inside. Because remember, the body permeates the soul. So God is working on the interior. 6,000 years or 2,000 years, the church has worked on the exterior of man, working to permeate in. It's helped. It's done a good job. It hasn't gotten all the way. So now God says, okay, I'm going to come inside first, fix that. You know, if you have the engine, it doesn't matter what the body looks like in the car, you're going to run, but you're going to have a shiny body. And if your engine's kaput, you're not going anywhere. So I think that whole approach that you mentioned, Maureen, is so spectacularly honest. And if you don't believe it, and if it doesn't, you haven't thought about it, just try it. Try it one day with a book. On the couch, or in an area that's not classroom-like, that's not, you know, ten. I don't know how to explain it better than that, but just lounge and enjoy it. Read it as if you were reading a love story, because it is. It's the greatest love story in the history of mankind, because God is giving us his love and then saying, okay, I'm giving you my love, which is the greatest of all love, and now I want you to give my love back to me, but I'll consider it as coming from you.
Yeah, it's
That's
you know what
not.
it's active. He's saying enter in and act with me. Enter in. Like for instance, when Jesus says, when you do the hours of the passion, so you're doing them. What does that mean? I mean, you're not just reading them, you're entering into them. And it's different than just reading a story about the crucifixion that we've read before. You're entering into it. And it's an, you're an active participant. Once you fuse yourself in the divine will, you're in there. You're in the garden. You're taking an active role in, like Jesus turns to Louise and says, "Friend, are you here?" He's talking to you. Are you here in the garden with me? It's not just reading a story. It's actively participating. And so you have to go slow because you could spend a whole day on one page. You can't just whiz through these books. That's another reason why you can't rush this. It's just, it's totally different.
It's quality over quantity. It's not like Evan LaWood speed reading. You're not trying to get through the volumes. What good is it to say, I read volume 12, but I don't remember really much of anything? I mean, that's not what God wants. He, again, just like those numerous doors and windows we talked about, we can understand more about the divine will in one paragraph of one passage, attentively asking for the grace from God. Well, we're always getting the grace, but asking for the grace to be able to utilize the grace being given by God. To understand this, wanting it, desiring it, we can get more out of that one paragraph than we can out of reading the entire volume, speed reading it. I truly believe that. I've had numerous situations where I know many folks that have just read a little bit, and it's amazing because they know so much more than those who have read many volumes. Again, I think it's to your point. This is unlike any other. It's a school. But it's unlike any other school that we've ever experienced. It's there's nothing else like this in the world. There's nothing where you can be so relaxed, but yet so engaged at the same time, because it's God. God says He surrounds us, He encompasses us, He squeezes us. That's why we can't get out. And that's what He does. Oh, think about the saints in heaven, the souls in heaven. They're fully satisfied. They have no desire. They have nothing. They have everything. They still have their free will. Could they, if they wanted to, could they use their free will? They could, but they never will, because God smothers us with His love, with His will, and we recognize there's no turning back. This is where we belong. This is our nature. This is our DNA. That's why we know this stuff. We may not know the particular knowledge, but we have the general underlying. It never was taken out of us fully. It was sort of disengaged, just like that cog. And now God says, I'm waiting. And He says, the time is now. And I think last but not least, Maureen, we need to, these are the truths. These are everything we need. It's the explication of everything that's been given to us in the Holy Catholic Church. But it all comes down to, do we believe this to be true? Do we believe this to be real? And if the answer is yes, there's no, Jesus says, if you desire this gift, earnestly desire this gift, you're in the state of grace. He says, I guarantee you will receive it. He guarantees it. It's not difficult. He had to make this easy and accessible to everyone. Everyone has the capability of being in the state of grace, no matter what we've done in our lives or we've done yesterday or today. Go to confession, clean slate. By Mercy Sunday, all the punishment and the interest on the punishment, all expunged. And the divine will, Jesus goes one step further. He says, live this gift perfectly and completely, and you will avoid purgatory. No other gift, no other mystic, no other saint has ever brought goods as great as this. And that's why she's really special. And she's a nobody. She's the least of all. Right? Just like St. John the Baptist, he's the least of all. It's really amazing. It's available to everyone. So I hope nobody gets despondent. And again, don't get distracted with all the nonsense going on. Just stay straight. Don't engage in it. If you hear it, pray. You know, our Lord gave us the proper words, I think, on the cross. Forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do. And we pray that somebody says that about us when we do something that's perhaps not in the best of all circumstances. So,
Well, you know, it kind of, if you read the divine will, you know you have to forgive, because if you're not forgiving, it's not sinking in. You know, you can't live in the divine will without forgiveness. And it actually forced me to forgive somebody. I said, oh my gosh, I haven't forgiven that person. How can I read the volumes if I have that wall up? So I had to forgive them. And so I saw a fruit there. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have. I would have just let it fester inside of me for a little while. But I knew that Jesus knew that he knows all. I said, okay, Lord. So I had to go say, I forgive you, and you know, forgive me. But that's one of the fruits of reading this, because it's all right in front of you. You can't get around things that you could before, because this is real and good and holy and truthful, and you want it. And you can't take any side steps from it. You have to, you know, I mean, if you really have this ardent desire and you know you have to do things to be able to let it sink in and to let it grow in you, because it's Jesus coming in you. And what was the last thing he did on the cross? He forgave. I mean, that was the last thing he did. What's he trying to tell us? That's so critical. And I think, aside from the divine will, most of the wounds out there are from lack of forgiveness. And so that's a really big deal. And I think for anyone who's living in the divine will, or trying to live, or trying to get in the castle of the divine will, or the mansion, as you call it, Peter, you have to forgive first before you get in through the door.
I agree. And I also like what you said about basically it's sip by sip. We don't,
Yeah.
then he's going to ask us to take gulps when we're ready for that. But if you think about that analogy, take your favorite drink. Now, I love milkshakes. I really can't have milkshakes because I'm type 2 diabetes, but my favorite's a vanilla or strawberry milkshake. Now, if I take that milkshake and I guzzle it down, I don't really enjoy it. It's cold. I may get a brain freeze, but I didn't really enjoy it if I gulped it down. But if I take little sips, and I taste the vanilla, or I taste the strawberry, and I can sort of, for lack of a better phrase, milk that milkshake for a half hour, an hour maybe, and I can really enjoy it, and I can allow, it to go all over. And I've got so many taste buds. I mean, nurse, taste buds are all, I mean, there's millions of them in your mouth. So if you guzzle it down, it doesn't hit three quarters of them. Here, if you just take a little bit and slosh it around, but you're tasting it, you're getting the full bouquet of the flavor. That's what he wants here too. And then when we're ready, when we built that foundation, then he can give us these big gulps because now we're prepared to take it. We're not going to lose it. We're not going to get half it dripping out our mouth. We're ready to receive it. He
Yeah.
knows when we're ready. We don't have to worry about when we're ready. He knows it. And he's just going to keep upping the ante, so to speak, giving us more and more and more. And again, it's all commensurate with the desire. I'm sorry again, but we talked about the first sentence. Remember volume 35, February 26th. When he said, as soon as the creature recognizes us in creative things and loves. Well, if you go back before that, volume 18, August 8th, 1925, Jesus also says, quote, so all our love was centralized in man. And this is why we placed all creation at his disposal, all ordered around him, that man may make use of our works like as many stairs and ways in order to come to us, to know us, and to love us. And go. So think about this. Every time we make a round in creation, whether we do the complete round, which we highly recommend, but not everyone has time to sit down and do a complete round, not every day. But those impromptu rounds we're talking about here, all of creation, driving to work, driving home to work, driving to the hospital, doesn't matter. It's all there. Every time we're doing that, we're taking a step higher, not lower, higher, closer to God. And the closer, just like the closer we get to the sun, the more intense the heat is. So every step, every stair we climb, we're getting a warmer feeling. We're getting more in the way of knowledges. We're getting more in the way of truth. We're getting more in the way of understanding, way beyond what we think we're capable of. Again, God knows what we're capable of. He knew the apostles. He knew that Peter would deny him three times, but he knew his heart. He knew he would be a leader. He knew Matthew was disposed. All he had to do was say to him, come, follow me. Our Blessed Mother, a perfect example for love and trust. If we don't trust our Lord, if we don't trust this to be true, then really we're wasting our time. Jesus says also in volume 36 that the divine will has two opposite effects. For those who are striving to find these truths and to learn them, it's life and light. But for those who look, he calls it looking to split hairs or to find faults and doubts, he says they'll be blinded. They will not understand a thing. So that's why a lot of these very learned professionals criticize and speak negatively about the divine will because they don't understand it. They were looking to find fault, not find the benefit. So we find the benefit, we look for the benefit, and if we find a fault, then we go to someone. We ask that priest for the theological perspective. But again, the faults have already been vented out by the church. They found no faults. Let the church do their job, we do our job. Again, we all have an office. I just love that phrase, stay in your lane. Think about driving, stay in your lane, very safe or safer. Start zigzagging and changing lanes, you're eventually going to hit somebody. And that'd be pretty. But I think we better start. But that was really good. Thank you, Maureen, for all those great points. Maureen, can you take us down to 106 here
106.
on this grace and triune operation?
Great grace and the triune operation in the redeemed human creature, much like Thomas, who demonstrates the cooperation of the two wills in Christ that form a theandric operation in which the Father and the Holy Spirit concur. Louisa maintains that the will of the redeemed human creature that lives in the divine will concurs in all that the three divine persons do.
And that makes sense. Why would we be in opposition? And that's why also I was having a conversation via email with a good friend of mine. You know, he received some information about people that are promoting the divine will, and they were making statements that were contrary to the church. So again, the divine will explicates the entire church. It makes everything that the church possesses better understandable, better recognizable. It doesn't delete, it doesn't add to. Well, it gives us a new dimension that it does. So if you hear something or you're following someone that is encouraging you or stating to do something that's in opposition to the church, question it. Because this cannot deviate from the church. It can't be a second church. Martin Luther tried that. It didn't work. But there's 35,000 different churches. It has to be grounded in our faith. It has to be Catholic. And there is much out there that's deviating from that. Again, I'm not saying these people are bad or they're doing it intentionally, but sometimes you get so wrapped up in the thrust and the zeal of this and the magnificence of this gift that we don't trod slow enough to make sure that we've got proper footing. And that's what the theologian's for. We don't need the theologian or the priest to journey. We can do that by ourselves. I'm not saying discount a priest if you have one. That's great if you do have one, but you don't need one. The late Archbishop Bisceglie said he recommended that all who are journeying have a priest available for any theological questions they may have. And the beautiful thing about that is they don't have to be a divine will priest for a theological question. Any priest, any bona fide priest, you know, in good standing, should be able to answer any theological question or be able to get the answer for you. So again, that's why we want to keep it in the church. Make sure we don't go off the road or off the rails, so to speak. But again, we don't need a priest to journey. So if you don't have one, that doesn't mean you have to stop. And nobody can make you stop, especially if you're doing it in your house. And again, there's much of that also. You heard about the South Korean bishops that told the faithful, do not read these writings. Well, they had some really poor translations. They had translations from groups that were adding their own innuendos to Luisa's writings as if it was Luisa's writings. And it was not correct. It was not placed in the church. And therefore, it was heretical. So maybe for good reason, they said, well, don't touch this because that's all they were exposed to. Now, Daniel O'Connor, I think, is working on that to get the proper grounding of the divine will, to get perhaps the dissertation to him and the other you know, good theological works that will explain it from a Catholic perspective. But again, it's all misunderstanding. I mean, misunderstanding is the root of probably all conflicts, whether it be wars, problems in the family. It's all misunderstanding. So we don't want to misunderstand this. And that's why go slowly, take your time, bounce that theological question off the priest if you have it. If you don't have a priest you can ask, just lob a question into us, send it to Mary Sill at queenofthedivinewill.org. and we'll get it to a priest for an answer. Or if it's something we've heard and we're confident, we will just tell you and save time. Okay, so concurs in all three divine principles. Of course it does, because that makes us one with God. So let's go down. I think we're on our last footnote of 106. Again, this is what we mean by methodical review. We're not going through this so quickly that as to miss anything. Well, hopefully, or not much, I should say. Okay, so we're footnote number 106. We can begin here. I think I've got the cross in there, Marie.
Volume 11, March 15th, 1912. The divine will is the sanctity of sanctities, and the soul who does it on earth as in heaven is a queen soul who gives life to all the good done on earth and in heaven. These souls are the true consecrated hosts of the divine will. Continuing in my usual state, I felt a great desire to do the most holy will of Blessed Jesus. And he came and told me, "My daughter, my will is the sanctity of sanctities."
Sorry to stop so quickly, but that's a perfect point right there. Jesus speaking in volume 11. Volume 11 in the Italian translation has the church's imprimatur and the hilapsed. And Jesus says, "My daughter, and also my daughters and brothers, my will is the sanctity of sanctities." Do we believe that? Do we trust Jesus to be accurate in what he says? I think that makes the whole difference. If it's vague or if we're not really sure, I think we have to do more research about perhaps Louisa, about how the writings were established. St. Hannibal de Francia is a great reading to talk about. I mean, he was Louisa's spiritual director for 17 years. He was also the spiritual director to the seer Melanie Calvert, who was the seer of Our Lady of La Salette, fully approved apparition of our church. Again, and he's a saint. Again, all of this has been scrutinized, has been reviewed, and everything is fine from the church's perspective on that. So again, my daughter, my will is the sanctity of sanctity. And if we believe that to be true right now, what I would do is I would clean off my glasses. Okay, this is the sanctity of sanctities. Please continue, Maureen.
The soul who does my will according to the perfection that I am teaching you, that is, on earth as it is in heaven, however small, ignorant, and ignored, leaves even other saints behind, in spite of their prodigies, the most clamorous conversions, and the miracles. Really, in comparison, the souls who do my will in the way it is in my third fiat are queens. And if it is as if all the others were at their service.
Do we believe that?
I like where he says, however small, ignorant, or ignored. I mean, that's a
that's
huge
us.
Point. Yeah. They
That's us.
They leave the saints behind. You're ignored. You're ignorant. I mean, you're ignorant and you're ignored, and yet you do the divine will and you leave all the other saints behind. I mean, that's amazing, really.
He's given us everything. He's given us everything. We have the catechism. That's something perhaps we have a page on the website, the Catholic Catechism and the Divine Will. There's maybe 50 or 60 entries in our Catholic Catechism that speak about the Divine Will specifically. Maybe I'll send the link out when I send the recording out this evening. But you know, it talks about a lot of things. You know, like for example, the ministerial priesthood is at the service of the common priesthood. Do we recognize that? Not that we don't treat our priests subserviently. We don't do that. But I think many times it's presumed to be the other way around, that we're there to serve the priest. We're there to help the priest, but help, not hurt. Remember, Jesus says the family destroys the priest. I always thought the family meant the nuclear family, the mother and the father, the siblings. But if you look at the definition of family, it's either paternal or it's a group of people with like-minded ideas. So family can be a following. The family, the following of the priest, kills the priest. And kill the priest in a myriad of different ways. Can inundate the priest with worldly things. Can take the priest off his game of the true salvation of souls being the utmost task, going to different social events. I mean, the family can take the priest out of his rhythm. So I think that's very careful. I don't know where that is. I think it may be in volume 12, where Jesus says specifically the family kills the priest. So I want to make sure that we assist the priests, we help them with their needs, but we don't give them what they don't need. We don't give them what may bring them out of where they are and where they should be. They make a sacrifice. They live a life of poverty. But I remember one priest telling me, if you want to see poverty, go to the sisters. The nuns live the poverty life, not the priest. But again, help the priest, be there for him, for the needs that we have, the true needs, and don't spoil them, so to speak, so that they can remain faithful to their task. And we have to remain faithful to our task. So yeah, the ministerial priesthood is at the service of the common priesthood. And we all are common priests, men and women alike. Common priests. Adam and Eve were common priests. And that's who we are. And that's what we're going back to. But we have our Holy Mother Church to help us stabilize and to continue moving forward, going back.
It seems that the souls who live in my will do nothing, while they actually do everything. Because being in my will, these souls act divinely in a hidden and surprising way.
Do you remember when Jesus tells Louisa, you're gonna look like you're doing nothing while you do everything? Is this the opposite of the Pharisees? Remember, the Pharisees looked like they were doing everything. They were in charge of the faith. They knew the faith. They had the faith. They were there to shepherd the people. And really, most of them were there for other reasons. So they were very outwardly with their show, with their showing and their affection. Jesus now says, no, I want it the opposite. I want you now to be more, it's more important to be before you do, not just do. I mean, again, it worked for the saints. They did something and that's who they became. Now Jesus says, no, I want to turn it all around. I want you to be first. I want you to be, I want you to envelop this divine will so that I may allow your works, all of your works. They don't have to be different than what you're doing now, but I can elevate them to a divine level, which we cannot do on our own. And that's all coming under that divine will umbrella. So yeah, I mean, that's act divinely in a hidden and surprising way. So we don't take importance to human gratitude or good job, Pete. Good job. I know we all do not like hearing that. So it's uncomfortable. Thanks be to God for everything. Anything we've accomplished, anything we're working on, thanks be to God.
I
Thanks
see.
be to our Blessed Mother.
I see if you're hidden, you're safe. You know,
Yeah, under the radar, right?
you're under the radar. You're in the silent warfare because we're in a war and you're fighting and you're hidden. So, I think you can get a lot more done hidden. And like Jesus says in the volumes, he prepared for 30 years hidden for his 3 years of ministry. So to be hidden is not a bad thing. You're safe. You can still work for the Lord. Old Red Legs doesn't know where you are. He doesn't, he, you're not out there in the middle of the whole deal like the Pharisees, or you're not, you know. Everyone's not looking at you, or you're like, here I am, look at all the good things I've done. Oh, just got shot. You know, so it's not a bad thing to be hidden, but it's opposite of what people are looking for now. They want to be noticed for what they do, the good they do. They want people to know they did it. They want to get their kudos and their pay and all that. And Jesus is saying, no, be hidden because we have a job to do. And we have a lot to learn, and it's guerrilla warfare, and I think
Yeah.
we're a lot more effective.
I was just thinking about that same phrase, guerrilla warfare. Very effective. Very effective when you least expect it. And God, throughout his entire history of selecting humans, has done the same. Right? Father Gobi, he couldn't say a mass properly. They said his homilies were horrible, and yet he's a servant of God now. Our Lady comes to him. Sister Faustina They just allowed her to mop the floor because they said she couldn't do well the other
That's right,
chores
yeah.
in the convent. Luisa Piquet at the first grade education being given this explication of the deposit of faith to somebody who doesn't know the deposit of faith. God can establish his might through the lesser. If these were very learned, people with prestigious positions, it may not be believable. I don't like to use that word. And that's why he says also, that's why, this had to come with through Louisa. It couldn't just stay with our Blessed Mother, because then people say, well, I'm not the Blessed Mother, so this is not possible for me. Louisa was like us. If it was possible for Louisa, it's possible for us. We just learned anyone in the state of grace can immediately gain entrance into this divine eternity. Immediately. And then the fun begins, because where does Jesus tell us? He tells us, well, I may not be able to find it. This is really good, because he says, okay, volume 19, August 31st, 1926, quote, now, how many things there are, Jesus speaking, how many things there are in my will that I must give to creatures, but they have to come into its kingdom in order to receive them, end quote. That doesn't mean we have to come into the kingdom and be where Louisa was. Father Nuzzi says, anyone in the state of grace can have immediate entry. We know the divine will, so we can formulate that ardent desire, even if it's a weak ardent desire. He knows what our ability is. He knows what our intention is. Once we get our foot in the door, that's when he wants to. He's got these graces that he must give to creatures, but you have to come into the. So once we get into the foyer, he's got all these gifts he wants to give us, but he cannot give it to us outside the door. We have to come in, and it's easy to get in. But God's going to open the door, but he's not going to force us in. He's not going to push us in. He's not going to pull us in. He's going to invite us in. This is the easiest. I think this is the easiest thing within our whole Catholic Church to do, really. Because God is doing most of the work. Because he knows our inability to do anything well. He really does. He knows. He must be amused too with our wretchedness, not our deliberate sinfulness necessarily, but our inability to do anything well. And again, I think he's amused. But again, he chooses the lowly. He chooses the small. Because he's going to make them, he's going to show his might through them where it's going to be believable to others. Again, not never invalidating free will, but hopefully others can learn from others as examples. And we're examples too. So that's why we have to be very careful. We're all ambassadors of Christ. And a drunken ambassador, using profanity and falling down the street is not a good representative of a country or whatever he or she is representing. So we're ambassadors of Christ. If we're talking about the divine will, we have to live it to the best of our ability. Well, they have to see a change in each and every one of us. And I think that's easy to do because it's God changing us. It's not necessarily us changing ourselves. We just have the desire. Good point, Maureen. You're on fire today.
This next paragraph is one of my favorites. I'm so happy I can read it out loud.
Okay.
Can we go? Okay.
Yeah. I can't
Okay.
wait.
They are light which illuminates, wind which purifies, fire which burns, miracles which cause miracles. Can I keep going?
Yeah, you can keep
They,
going.
those who do miracles are channels, but in these souls resides the power. Therefore, they are the foot of the missionary, the tongue of the preachers, the strength of the weak, the patience of the sick, the regime of superiors, the obedience of the subjects, the tolerance of the slandered, the firmness in the dangers, the heroism in the heroes, the courage in the martyrs, the sanctity in the saints, and so on with all the rest. Being in my will, they concur with all the good that can be both in heaven and on earth.
Do we believe that? I do. That's extraordinary. And see, everyone and all that have gone before us have established pathways. All the missionaries, all the preachers, all the weak, the sick, the regimes, the obedience, all of that had to occur. I mean, I'm Radio Maria. We're doing the Mariathon, and we're talking. We can all give spiritually. but not all of us can give financially. But some of us have been endowed, and money's not bad. It just depends on how we use it. And they'll always be rich and they'll be poor, if you think about it, because the rich can see God in their ability to give, and the poor can see God in their ability and in their blessing of receiving. It's all in front of us. Every one of us has an office. Every one of us has a vocation. Every one of us has our own lane on that highway to heaven. It's just so beautiful. And and we usually just wreck it. We just get ourselves into a wreck where we go off the rails, and we just need to take this methodically. Again, we can have zeal. We can have excitement. We should. But it always has to be grounded in our faith, in our church. And again, if we have that theological question, that may not come up often, theological question, because most of it's already explained. If you're using the dissertation, it's there. The theological summary is there. So you don't need to go to a priest. You've got Father who did the work for you. That's why many cynicals, many, I know about five or six, that use the dissertation for their cynical. We do. Friday nights, we've been doing it now for 4 years. How can we say anything wrong? It's right here. It's what Our Lady said, our Lord said, what Father Luigi said. It has abrogation, which is the scholastic term for approval by the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See. So the church has approved this. Got no risk. No risk. And again, if I explain my perception or what I gain from this, that may be, again, an opinion. I'm not saying this is what it means. This is what Louisa said. This is exactly. No, unless I'm repeating what Father Nuzzi said. So, yeah, we have to be careful, but we shouldn't tie our hands. I mean, God wants us to embrace all of this. And like you said, Maureen, early on, I think the great advice, we don't have to know it all. We don't have to explain it all. Don't worry about explaining it. I know Father Nuzzi said on Radio Maria one time, he says, explain the divine will to someone else in words is incredibly difficult. But understanding the divine will, once we give our fiat, is incredibly simple. Because just what we read, there are many graces I have to give you, but you must enter into my kingdom. You must come into the foyer. And then he'll give us what we need. He won't give us more than we need at the time because we can't handle it. He's not going to give us less than we need because he wants us with him. It's extraordinary. So if you don't have a priest, you read the dissertation.
And you know what? You can take that question and write it down and put it aside and be keep reading. And you'll go back to the question, or else it'll be answered. It's not a reason to stop. You just keep going and say, "Oh, I didn't understand that." Yeah, well, you know what? That's okay. Don't, you know, it's okay. Maybe it was easy for me because I never understood math or geometry. I
Me
mean, I was
neither.
used to not understanding things. I wasn't one of those inquisitive minds that said, "I have to know exactly what that means." I
Neither.
was like, "Well, I can't do this. That's okay. Maybe I'll do better." You know, so I would suggest just don't get too hard on yourself. It's let it flow. Enjoy it. This is a gift from God. And don't be like, sometimes you read all this unbelievable stuff and you're like, "Well, that can't be for me. This is for holy people, and I certainly am not there." Well, Jesus wants to give it to you. What are you going to tell him? No. I mean, this is a gift. He's saying, "Please take this. I want to pour my love into you. Will you let me?" You know, so you can't say no. "No, Jesus, I don't want your love. I'm not holy enough." But he wants to give it to you. So, I mean, take it. Take it, because you don't want to insult Jesus. He's had you in mind since the very beginning of time. And I think he even says, doesn't he say, Peter, that all my children were with me at the Last Supper? I think he says that in the volume. So he had you in mind, whether you're holy or not, whatever you are, you're already there. You're already in the divine will with him. So now he wants to give. He wants to give. So just take it. I mean,
Yeah, I actually in the City of God, Mary Agreda, all souls are present at the Last Supper. In the Book of Heaven, it goes a little bit beyond that. All souls are at the Last Supper, and grouped together are all those souls, the divine willies, all those that will journey in the divine will. They're in their own little group there. And that's at the Last Supper. Before any of us were born, we were there. Do we
Now,
believe?
yeah, so how are we going to explain that?
You
You
can't.
can't. Well, let me explain this. No, you can't explain it. It's in a different dimension. It's mystical. It's, you know, and we're not worthy. Are we ever worthy to receive communion? And yet he wants to make us a living host, greater than the piece of bread. He wants us to be a living host. It's like, how can you explain the awesomeness of God that he wants to do this for us? It's just
Right. In fact, in Greek, Eucharist means thanksgiving. So are we thankful? And like Saint Augustine says, when we receive our blessed Lord in the Holy Eucharist, do we thank our Lord and our Lady? Because remember, God was flesh of Mary too. She's present. It's astonishing. It's astonishing. What's also astonishing is we're out of time, right? I'd like to end with a prayer, if I may. And just really quickly, if anyone would like to join us on Sunday, we're going to have Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters that are going to come to us live from Maryville, Tennessee. In fact, Mother's back from Gadamer. Maybe she'll give us an update on that Divine Will conference that was there. I'm going to end with a supplication, if I may. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed Lord, we ask that we be able to utilize all and every grace that you send our way. And may we emulate those that have gone past. May we have the wisdom of Isaiah, the disposition of Saint Matthew, the zeal of Saint Paul, the courage of Saint Peter, and the trust, faith, and love of our Blessed Mother Mary. Amen. In the name
Amen.
of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Maureen. Thank you, everybody. George, Maria, Dawn. I don't know who 401 is. I can't call out by name. 401. See everyone on Sunday, hopefully. Thanks be to God.
Bye-bye, everybody.
This is special. This is unique. This is like nothing ever given before. And we're in the middle of it. What a sense of humor our Lord has. Does he know what he's doing? Of course he does. Bad one.